Oh, Spirit of the living God, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want these that are praying to continue to pray tonight in the altar. Amen. Brother Mike, go ahead and put the scriptures on the board. Amen. We're going to be in the last week of February. We're going to be talking about a week of fasting and prayer. Tonight I'm going to share shortly with you about a matter of prayer, and some of these, if you want to come and pray with them, I want them to continue praying. Amen. The Bible says in Exodus 32 and verse 7, the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Go ahead, brother. Verse 12. Amen. We got verse 12. Okay, I'll read it here. Praise the Lord. And it says, Moses went on to say and said, Lord, seest that thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee. I'm sorry, I turned two pages at once. Amen. Let's go back. I got off track there. I don't want to miss what the Lord would say to us tonight. I turned two pages at once. Amen. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief he did bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. God said, I'm going to consume them. I'm going to destroy them. And when Moses heard that, he began to plead with God on the behalf of the people of Israel. And when Moses was through pleading with God for Israel, God turned his wrath and said, I will not consume them. I will not destroy them. I want to talk to us about prayer tonight. I want to talk about being an intercessor. Being an intercessor. You can be seated tonight. Being an intercessor. What is intercession? What is intercessory prayer? Very simply put, intercession is prayer on the behalf of someone other than oneself. Intercession is prayer on the behalf of someone other than oneself. When I intercede, I am praying for someone other than myself. When I am interceding, it's not about my needs before God. It's about the needs of someone else. The pastor went to visit the family. In the family was a little 8 or 9 year old boy. And the pastor's making conversation. He looked at the little 8 or 9 year old boy and he said, son, do you pray every night? And the little boy looked up at him honestly and said, no, pastor, some nights I don't pray. And the pastor said, why don't you pray every night? And the little boy said, because, pastor, some nights I don't want anything. Some nights I don't want anything. Prayer has become in so many cases about what I want, what I would like, about my needs, about my problems, about my perplexity. But I'm telling you, there is a level of prayer that God wants to take his people. And that is when we go to prayer suddenly, it's not about me. It's about my brother. It's about my sister. It's about my lost loved one. It's about the neighbor down the street. It's about the man at work that needs God. It's about the woman at the grocery store, the clerk that needs a Savior. I believe the Lord will lead us into a level of prayer. It's not a me prayer, but it's a prayer, oh God, move on the behalf of another. I believe just like Moses had power with God through intercessory prayer and turned the judgment around, I believe when the people of God pray with intercessory prayer, God will move like we've never seen him move. I know we have our own needs. We have our own things we need to pray about. But I believe when the church sets itself to pray an intercessory prayer on the behalf of other folks, I believe it touches and moves and stirs the heart of God. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God had just made a covenant with Israel. Moses had sprinkled them with blood. The people had shouted, we'll be the people of God. We'll keep his commandments that you've given us. And God said, you'll be my people. I'll be your God. And I will protect you and lead you into my promises. And Moses sprinkled the people with blood to seal the deal, to seal the covenant. But now Moses is up on the mountain and the children of Israel are in the valley and being tired of waiting on Moses to come down from the glory cloud. The children of Israel made them gods like the gods of the people they had been delivered from. And as Moses is on the mount receiving the very plan for the tabernacle where man can enter the presence of God, God's people in the valley are moving further away from God than they had ever been and making a molten image. God had just said to them, thou shalt make unto thee no graven image. And they're in the valley making it. God is making a way where they can enter the very holiest of holies. But they're entering into carnality and fleshliness. And so God sees that and he turns to Moses and said, I'm angry at that. My wrath of my holiness is burning hot. I'm just going to destroy those people off from the face of the earth, and I will make of you a great nation. Oh, Moses, when he heard that, he was stirred. Amen. He didn't say, God, you're unjust to do that. He said, God, that's not much like a God, a holy God, to be angry. He knew God was right. He knew God was just. But Moses was stirred, and when he heard God was about to destroy the people, he began to plead with God not to do it, but to have mercy. I'm going to leave you quickly tonight with just a few things I notice about the intercessory prayer of Moses and what intercessory prayer is. First of all, it's realizing what will happen to others if we don't pray. It's realizing what will happen to them if we don't pray. Amen. I've asked the question since I've read this today. What would have happened to Israel had not Moses prayed for them? What would have happened to the people of Israel had they not had a Moses to stand in the gap and to plead with God for them? Oh, I'm telling you, I think it's something we need to consider. What's going to happen to them if we don't pray? What's going to happen to them if we don't intercede? What's going to happen to them if we don't beseech the Lord to show mercy, to convict them, to bring them out, to stay His hand and give them opportunity? Hallelujah. If they had not had Moses, they would have had no one. And I want you to think of the people in your life, family members and neighbors and co-workers. The point is tonight, if they don't have you praying for them, big chances are there's nobody praying for them. If you're not the one beseeching the Lord for your lost family members, good chances are there are no one except you that will pray for them. Moses was the only one that stood between the wrath of God and the people's destruction. I guarantee you, they might not have realized it at that moment, but there came a day that those people, now saved and turned back to God, could say, thank God I had a Moses that was praying for me. I had a Moses that interceded for me. Amen. Intercessory prayer is realizing what will happen to them if we don't pray. Secondly, intercessory prayer, it is forgetting our own interest as we become concerned with others' interest. I'm telling you, Moses would have come out good in the deal. Did you hear that tonight? Moses would have come out good in the... God said, let me destroy these people. And Moses, I'll raise up from you another nation. Amen. We don't understand a whole lot of that today. But in that time, the greatest feat of life for a male was to have a family, to raise up a dynasty. Amen. Raise up a tribe, raise up a people that bore his name. And when God told Moses, I'll make you, I'll destroy them, and I'll take you and make a nation from you, that was the greatest accomplishment, the greatest award, the greatest compliment of any man of that time, is to have a tribe named after him. But Moses did not think of himself. He did not think of his own. He wasn't thinking of what I can be and what I can do. All he could think about is the people being destroyed by the wrath of God. I know we have our own needs, but I'm telling you, intercessory prayer is for getting my own interest and beginning to be concerned about the interest of others. I know I may need a raise at work. I'm not minimizing that, but suddenly I'm not praying for a raise at work. I'm praying, oh God, save my child. Oh God, save my nephew, my niece. I know we got other things of interest to pray about. I know we got to pray about what are we going to do about the car. The engine's about to blow. Yes, we'll pray about that. But intercessory prayer is to forget the old car for a moment. My neighbor is about to die without Christ. And if I'm not the one to pray for them, who's going to do it? Intercessory prayer, it is knowing that they may not even know or care that we are praying. I want you to know, when all that was going up on the mount and the people were in reverie and rioting and lasciviousness in that valley before that golden calf, they didn't even know how close they were to annihilation. I'm telling you, many folks today don't know how close they are to complete self-destruction. They might even laugh at you if they know that you're concerned enough to pray for them. But when Moses was up there on the mount pleading with God for the people of Israel, they had no idea he was making intercession for them. I want to tell you tonight, they may not know it. They may not even care. But the best thing we can do for those in that situation is be the intercessor. Can you say amen? You know, I think it's okay. I think it's even encouraging to tell people, I'm praying for you. Sometimes I do that because I do think it's an encouragement to people. But I want you, you could have lost loved ones and they may not even know that every day you're praying for them. But that does not affect how God's going to move. They don't have to know that you're praying for them for God to move on them. They don't have to know you're interceding for them for God to send conviction like He's never sent to them. The children of Israel never knew that Moses was praying, but that did not change the effectiveness of his prayers. Hallelujah. Another thing, amen, intercession, it is pleading mostly for those who have known God. I know many times we pray for rank sinners who've never been in a church, who've never known Christ. But I want you to think about it for a moment. Most of the folks that we intercede for have one time known God. That's the sadness of it. The children of Israel that Moses was praying for, they knew the power of God that delivered them from bondage. They knew the power of God that loaded them down with the spoils of Israel. They had just seen the power of God when Egypt pursued them. They stood blocked with the Egyptian army behind and the Red Sea before. They saw God take that cloud, place it between them and the Egyptian army. They had seen God divide that Red Sea, blow with that east wind, dry up a thoroughfare across that Red Sea bottom. Amen. They had watched as God helped them, everyone, get across. Then they watched as God closed that Red Sea and destroyed their taskmasters and their enemy. They had just heard the voice of God speaking from the Mount Sinai. They had seen His glory rest on the mountain. And you know what God said? God told Moses, look how quickly, verse 8, they have turned aside quickly. They have turned aside quickly. Amen. They had known the power of God. And Moses interceding for those that have once known the power of God. I want to tell you, it ought not to be that way. If people had any realization, once they have known the saving knowledge of Christ, once they have known the power of the Holy Ghost, once they have known the truths of the Word, once they have been born again, they should never, ever, ever backslide. Amen. Once they've tasted of the good gift of God, they should never go back to the world. But the sad thing is they do. And in the circle of our life, in the association of our life, most of the people we know to pray for are not the rank and file sinner that have never known God. We're praying for folks that knew God. We're praying for folks that have prayed in the altar, shouted under the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! It was the people of God that Moses was praying for. It's a sad thing. So quickly, I've asked myself the question many times, thinking of those that have even backslid from this church. How could they have experienced what they experienced and go back into this world? I'm telling you, Moses was asking the same thing. How could this people that's just been so mightily delivered, how could they go back? I know it's frustrating to us. I know it's consternating. I know it. But listen, if we don't pray for them, we can't just say, well, they had their chance. No, sir. We say, yes, they got away. They knew God and they got away from Him. But we're going to intercede and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. I found myself praying in the prayer even this week. I was thinking of a lady I saw get gloriously saved. I remember the night she got saved in the altar right up here. I mean, she jumped up at the joy of God all over. She quit the drugs. She quit the partying. I mean, she had the joy of the Lord in her heart. I watched as she let things trip her up. And tonight she's back into this world. You know what? I was praying again this week, Brother Brad. I called her name and I said, oh God, help her to remember what it felt like when her burden rolled away. Help her to remember what it felt like when the prison door swung open and the fetter. Help her to remember what it felt like in a Holy Spirit service like we've had tonight. Amen. You see, we may be frustrated that they knew God and turned from God, but we do have a basis to pray. God, help them to remember your power. Help them to remember your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah. Let them know one more time that what they need now is what they needed then. Hallelujah. And then last of all, I know this is very skeletal about intercessory prayer, but intercessory prayer is reminding God that those we plead for are God's too. Listen, we don't remind God because He needs reminded. We remind God because we need to remind ourselves. Intercessory prayer, it's reminding ourselves by reminding God that those we pray for are His too. I close my Bible for a minute too, but I don't know if you noticed this in this scripture. God turned to Moses and He said, Moses, thy people, your people, Moses, are sinning. A lot of folks miss that. But what God was saying, He said a moment ago, they were my people because they were keeping my commandments and therefore they were in my covenant. But they have broken my covenant. They've turned their back on me, so they're no longer my people. So Moses, they're your people. You know what Moses did in his intercession? He said, oh God, don't say that. Don't say they're not your people anymore. He said, oh God, it's your people that you let out. In other words, God said to Moses, they're your people. Moses said, oh, no, God, they're your people. Amen. I know they're breaking your covenant right now, but you're the one that led them out of bondage. You're the one that saved them from Egypt. You're the one that parted the Red Sea. And oh God, don't take them from out from under your covenant. I know they broke their part of the covenant, but oh God, would you keep yours and show mercy to 1,000 generations? Oh God, no, don't call them my people. They're your people, God. Don't put them out. Don't say you're through with them. Don't cast, oh God, keep them that they might be your people. They weren't playing hot potato. Even God was saying the covenant was over. And Moses saying, oh God, don't let the covenant be over. I think we need to do that sometimes. Amen. God will tell us, that's your son, that's your daughter that's lost. I think we need to look up at God and say, I know biologically they're my son and my daughter, but no, God, it's not my son, it's your son, because you died to save him. Hallelujah. Oh God, I know biologically she's my daughter, but it's not my daughter that's lost, oh God, it's your daughter that's lost, oh God, because you died for her. Oh, hallelujah. I said, aren't you glad God is merciful? I believe God's only looking for an intercessor. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you come, music? Amen. You say, well, God will never force somebody's will. What good does it do to pray for him? I know God forces no one's will, but I believe when the people of God pray, it creates an atmosphere around the one for whom we pray, an atmosphere of conviction, awareness of God, awareness of their situation, awareness of their trouble. I believe God moves in response to prayer. I may feel like my prayers are weak. I may feel like they're repetitious. I may feel like they're lacking in the Spirit, but I still believe if we'll begin to pray for others, I believe God will respond to that and move on people's hearts like never before. I just want to close tonight asking him, who would like to be an intercessor? Amen. Some of you tonight, even as I preach, the names already came to your heart. You already know, you've already got a burden, even in the preaching tonight, of somebody you want to pray for. And tonight it's not going to be about my need. Tonight it's going to be about them. And I'm going to beseech them, the Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, hallelujah, till I see them walk in the doors and come to the altar. I've told many times one of the most powerful things I've ever seen, and I'll just tell it in brief tonight. But Calvin Hunt that sang with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, I'm clean, I'm clean. Living in drugs, living in a doghouse, even about to die. But they had Tuesday night prayer meeting. I couldn't find the video tonight or I'd played it, but I saw it years ago. Tuesday night prayer meeting. The church was standing. Amen. The crowd was standing. And they were praying for Calvin Hunt. His wife is weeping. And the church is praying. God save Calvin Hunt. God save him. I won't tell the story how God got a hold of him that night. But all the thing that affected me was the associate pastor that was leading that prayer meeting. Looked up across that crowd of praying saints. And he started telling him. He said, in church, here he is. Here he comes. Here he is. And he walked down the aisle and gave his heart. I'm telling you, we can make a difference. We can pray an intercessory prayer until God hears from heaven. Would you stand your feet across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've got an intercessory prayer tonight, if you want to be an intercessory prayer warrior, I want you to begin to come right now tonight and begin to call out that name or names to the Lord and pray that God would save them. No hesitation. This is it. This is an altar call. As these are coming, if you're here tonight and you are lost, you're without God, I'm telling you that you have an intercessor. You've got Jesus praying for you to the Father right now. Right now, the Father is hearing the prayers of Jesus on your behalf. Hallelujah. Would you feel the altar? Would you be an intercessor tonight? Would you not pray tonight? Would you not call on God on the behalf of the lost and the undone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. It's serious. They may not even know you're praying. Sometimes the one you're praying for doesn't even recognize the danger that they're in. They don't even realize how close they are to the outpouring of the wrath of God. I believe the Spirit can help you pray for them tonight. Oh God, that you would send light into the darkness. Oh God, that you would break the chains of the evil one. Oh God, that the light of Jesus Christ would penetrate the darkness. Holy Spirit, that you would melt. Holy Spirit, that you would make soft. Holy Spirit, that you would stir. Holy Spirit, that you would convict. Hallelujah. God, you're able to save to the uttermost. I call on you for that person. I call on you for that family. I beseech you, Lord, tonight. I pray you would save their soul. Oh God, I pray tonight.
Pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. There's something I can do.
Pray.
I can pray.
Pray.
In
Come on, call their name.
Secret place.
Call their name.
Calling on your name. There's something I can do.
Come on, church,
do.
Pray. I pray right now.
I
pray that you'd
can
save.
Pray.
I pray that you'd get a hold of her heart. My family
shows no
in
interest. My child has gone so far.
Jesus, move by your spirit.
I can't seem to reach them. Their hearts just seem so hard.